The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back here, second hour of our show, and let's continue with more phone calls. How about Joshua in Huntsville, Alabama? Hello, Joshua.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
We are doing great, thank you.
Wow, okay, long-time listener, first-time caller. I can't believe I actually got through. So I wanted to throw out my pick who I think might be a good coach at Auburn. I haven't really heard many people talk about it. I haven't had time to listen to a lot of stuff lately, so I don't know if there's any chatter out there about this or not, but what do you think about Luke Fickell from Cincinnati?
Well, I think Luke Fickell's a phenomenal coach. I don't think he's going to be in the Auburn search for this reason. I think for Auburn, you need someone who is a good marriage to the SEC, and while I think Luke Fickell could win anywhere, I just don't think the two necessarily match very well.
Okay, all right. Yeah, just based on his success at Cincinnati. And
I think Luke Fickell would be a great coach at Nebraska or at Wisconsin, someplace like that. But I think to marry a guy like him into the South is a little more complicated. Now, as I say that, I'm sure somebody is thinking, well, isn't Nick Saban from West Virginia by way of the Midwest or Brian Kelly? Both are true, by the way, and both have been successful. I'm just trying to think like Auburn is thinking, not like maybe the two of us would be thinking. Luke Fickell would be, on his first day, one of the best coaches in the SEC.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking my call and getting your take on that.
Thank you very much. You call again sometime. Red is in Alabama. Hello, Red.
Hey, Paul. Just called, and I was going to ask you what you left out when Greeny asked you about the Big Ten. You had your dogs trained. Your response, you left that out. I thought that was pretty funny.
My dog started barking when we talked about Harbaugh. I've also trained him to urinate on Harbaugh if he ever sees him.
that's hilarious. And another thing. Another thing is, I just want to weigh in on the Cornell situation down there. I think they ought to give the man just a shot, a year, sign him to a year or two deal and give him a shot. They ain't got nothing to lose with him, you know. That's just my opinion.
Well, I think right now, and by the way, an hour from now, we're going to hear from a man who thinks he just ought to be hired, and enough of this, so. It's certainly outside the box. It's not like we don't know what we'd be getting. We'd be getting an energetic, enthusiastic coach who clearly relates to his players. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Robbie is up next. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
This has been discussed before, but I didn't catch it. Has Ed Orgeron's name come up for the Auburn job?
No.
Okay. I was just curious. He seems to be a player's coach, and I just thought he might be a decent fit.
Well, I think he is a player's coach. I think he's a good. I think he's a successful coach in his own right. But I think there was so much damage done to Ed Orgeron's reputation as he left Baton Rouge, that I don't think certainly an athletic director like John Cohen, who was in the SEC during the regime of Orgeron, would take a chance on him. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Davis in Wisconsin. Hello, Davis.
Yes, sir. Paul, my dad used to say, never mind the minnows, wait for the whales. And so I'm not going to watch any NFL games. I'm going to watch the Egg Bowl. And if Mississippi State can win at a Vaughn Hemingway Stadium, what kind of bowl do you think they'll get?
I haven't. I mean, there are so many bowl tie-ins with the SEC. They'd get a pretty good bowl. And I would have to. I know that there's the Vegas Bowl this year that's connected. There's one in. There are a couple of Florida bowls. I'd have to look it up. I don't know off the top of my head. But that's a good question. Thank you very much, and I'll see if I can find out the answer. Dominic, in Florida, is up next.
Paul, what's up, Paul, man? Paul, I'm just getting over it, man. You was right, Paul. For all the Alabama fans, our team do not deserve to go to no playoffs. So I hope everybody don't get y'all dang hopes up for all these scenarios. When we get in the playoff, we're going to get beat by 40 with Pete Golden as a defensive coordinator and the sorriest offensive coordinator in Alabama history. Paul, I was looking at Coach Saban's top coordinators, and they had Major Applewhite, and his first year was number 8 listed. And they had to bomb Bill O'Brien 9. He doesn't, Paul, I ain't really been calling all year, but it just frustrates me that if Coach Saban can see this and all the fans, all the former players see this, man. We didn't lost it, man. Georgia is the new Alabama 9 recruit. They ain't having went and got nobody out the portal on their roster this year, Paul. Can you tell me what's going on down with that?
Well, Dominic, I think some things have shifted, and doesn't mean they're permanent, but I think Alabama, and every time I say this, somebody's going to come back and say, well, they're only 2 points away from this or 3 or 4 points away from that, and they won that. But, are we watching a changing of the guard?
Paul, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm a realist. Some of these Alabama, because since it's your team, at least keep it real. I love legend and everything, don't get me wrong, but we got to keep it real, man. Because Coach Saban is the greatest coach, we can criticize him. I hate when Alabama fans act like we can't. Like when they get mad with you, Paul, we have the right to criticize Coach Saban. He has done a bad job the last 2 years with his coordinators, and we're not just saying it. His former players are saying it, Paul. So we must be saying something, right? Coach Saban can't be that naive and dumb and knowing that.
Yeah, but you know what? You know something, Dominic? You get comfortable in a position and you're as dominant as he has been, and there is nobody around to say, hey, coach, hold on 1 second. Let me ask you about this. And I think, if you study history, why have every dynasty, why has every incredible run, whether it's the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire. I'm not trying to compare this to that, but there's a reason why they usually crumble. Why do people fail? Because they don't have anybody around them that will say, listen, I think that maybe we have a better way to do it.
But Greg is right what he was saying. Our program has got stagnant because, and don't give me this bull crap, which is true, we lose a lot of offensive coordinators. But if you look at Georgia, you would think after they lost what they lost and what they got returning back, they look like they ain't lost nobody on the defensive side. We got our cornerbacks are garbage. We don't have the players, Paul. We do, but it's coaching the coordinators. Paul, I coach at a middle school, and I could do the same exact thing Pete Golden do. He doesn't look like a middle school coach. He don't know what he's doing. He's not putting players in position. We got Will Anderson. We don't even know he on the field. He's dropping them in coverage, Paul. Come on, Paul. We saying this, but I'll let you go, Paul. It's just frustrating.
Dominic, I hear you loud and clear. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Bob is in South Carolina. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? Thanks for the call.
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to call about yesterday's show. I was in and out of the car. I heard most of it. That lady that you had on early, I forget her name, but about the playoff situation.
Yeah.
I think I speak for more than just me, but thank you for having her. She gave us so much information about what's going on in the status that we never get to hear. And I just, the more you can have her give us updates, the more I'd appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, one thing we try to do is get a variety. We have a lot of guests here, especially on Friday, and we just are, sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not. So you just try to mine as much as you can. And we appreciate you saying that. Let's move along and talk to Jim, who is up next. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Okay, thank you.
pros and cons, giving Carnell a 2-year contract and see how you can do with Auburn.
Well, I think there's. I think the pros are you continue on what he's been doing, which is a positive. It probably will help you in recruiting. The cons are, what happens if it doesn't work out? Have you wasted an enormous amount of time on an unproven candidate? So you have to measure the good and the bad, and that's what leadership is, and that's what being a boss means.
I appreciate your opinion. But where do you start to learn the trade? You have to start someplace, right?
Well, you do. And there's no better place to start than being an interim head coach for 4 games.
I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I would be inclined to hire him, but I want to make sure if I make that call that I've thought it through, that I'm not making a knee-jerk reaction. And I think that's always the downside. And, I don't know. I have no earthly idea what John Cohen is thinking. I don't know whether he's already made up his mind on somebody else. One thing Carnell Williams is going to do, regardless of Saturday's outcome, he will make it a little more difficult for the next coach. And I'm sure everybody will say Carnell is on the staff and blah, blah, blah. But it's different going back to where you were, even if you're named a coordinator, than being where he could end up as the head coach. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here on a Wednesday afternoon, day before Thanksgiving, and I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon, Paul Feinbaum. I'm just listening to your bumper music. You know that it would be untrue if I were to say to you, now who is that, Paul?
Tell us, I-Man.
The Doors.
Oh.
That's right.
So, light my fire.
Light my fire.
Come on, baby. I mean, how do I pull?
My mind was wandering since I don't hear that bumper music. That was pretty famous lyrics.
Oh, absolutely. But you probably figured I was going somewhere with the Grateful Dead or Iron Butterfly or somebody like that.
I was thinking it was Tupac.
Or maybe a little Patches, I'm Depending on You, Son. You know,
that's a good song, by the way. I like that song. Not to get in the way of Jim Morrison, who died at, 27?
27.
Yeah.
Yes, 3 or 4 of them, 27, if they had lived. But, Paul, love your program, and I know everybody does, And, listen, I'd like to wish everybody a safe Thanksgiving holidays with their families and friends and that kind of thing. Being safe is important. When the states give out numbers of projected deaths on the highway, pay attention to that because they know what they're in that business. They know what people are on the road traveling, doing, and so be careful out there and have an enjoyable time. Paul, several things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that this time of the year, this particular year, all the Bama fans' hands they're just wringing their hands. They've worn the fingerprints off and the calluses off them hard working hands, them gentle hands, because they're trying to figure out how to get to the playoff. And they got the word if bolder than on TV. If, you got to love the carnage. Another thing I'm thankful for is I'm not on Jim's friend list, because I'd hate for him to be calling me 8 or 9 times a day after a phone call. Say something good about me. Say something good about me. And for him to talk about other people being hostile, 9 times out of 10 when Jim does call, it is all hostile. It is all negative. And it's everything but Bible thumping. Everything but Bible thumping. Everybody's going to hell. Everybody's going to hell but Jim. And then, of course, Jim has the say-so who does and who doesn't. Now, Paul, I don't see him sitting in your right-hand chair, and I know he's not in Jesus' right-hand chair, but I would like to wish Jim a nice Thanksgiving. I know he'll be alone in an empty room, because that's him and all of his friends. And I'm sure he'll call Jeff. He'll call Squirrel 6 times. And then if he can get a hold of you, he's going to try to call you. And but anyhow, War Dan Eagle. And then speaking on the—
You know that it would be untrue. You know that it would be a liar. Anyway.
It would be a lie if I was to say to you. But you know, let's just talk about the Carnell thing. I think I agree with you. You would be gambling on Carnell. And I tell you, I do believe this. If Carnell State, if he is retained at Auburn, he gets one hell of a raise, because he certainly deserves it. And we see what he's worth to Auburn. And with all the people around the country watching what Carnell is doing, Carnell is going to get head coaching jobs left and right. He will have a choice as to what he does. And I'm sure whatever Carnell does, he's a grown, mature man. He will find something that fits him and his family. And I keep hearing this word fit at Auburn, Paul. What is the fit at Auburn? Is it 36 in the waist? Is it 38? I mean, does that fit at
Auburn? Well, yeah, I mean, I think what you're talking about there is somebody who really can buy in. I mean, Auburn is not any job. I mean, you know that better than anyone.
No, it's not. Exactly.
And the reason why I think you have to use the word fit is we found out with Brian Harsin, you can't be the opposite of fit. He was a good football coach who did not fit in any way.
Yeah, and you know, if the glove don't fit, you must have quit.
Yeah.
You must have quit. But what does, I mean, does the word fit with the Auburn people or the Auburn board? It changes daily, I believe. I believe it.
Well,
I
think if you go back in time, I mean, let's talk about a guy who did fit, and that was Pat Dye. He could relate. You have to be relatable, and I think that's the issue with Auburn. Auburn people, I mean, they're a special group of people, and Harsin never could warm up to that. Neither, frankly, could Gus Malzahn.
No, and Gus was a great guy. And you know what? Something else I think that we've determined with the word fit, wins don't really matter. It's nice if you're winning, but it doesn't matter how many wins you've had, who you've had them over. Now, we did see Pat Dye run up in the camera and tell Terry Bowden he was an Auburn man now, but he ain't now.
Terry Bowden really didn't fit. He was a little too slick.
Yeah, and he's a little too short. You got to at least be able to.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be 5'5".
at least 5'5". You get to be taller than Scooby-Doo's hand at the fair at the kids' ride.
I mean, we used to joke that Terry Bowden was leaving Auburn for Notre Dame to be the mascot.
Well,
the leprechaun.
I mean, he was close. He was close.
And look at Terry now. But, he's a coach at La Monroe.
Yeah, La Mo. All the Bowdens eventually ended up in Louisiana with the exception of Bobby, didn't he?
Well,
where is Tommy Bowden now?
Tommy is Tommy went to Tulane, then he went to Clemson, and Tommy got fired, and they replaced him on the interim basis with Dabo. Look how that worked out.
That's right. Yeah, look how that worked out. But I'm still interested in the word fit, because I think the word fit changes every
day.
It's a
word of convenience, I mean.
Yeah,
we use it when we feel like it.
It's kind of like the it factor. You don't know what it is, but you know it when you see it and you feel it.
Yeah.
And so forth. But anyway, all y'all have a great Thanksgiving, and listen to me. Be safe, and I expect to hear your phone calls Friday.
Can't wait. Thank you very much, man. We will be here Friday, and we're going to leave a little bit of extra time for phone calls on Friday, because we know there'll be a lot to talk about with the Egg Bowl the day before. We are back with much more right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here on this Wednesday afternoon. We head to Tuscaloosa now, where Nick Kelly from the Tuscaloosa News joining us to talk about a number of things. So, Nick, thank you for the time. Let's start with the game. This is the Iron Bowl, after all, the one we, in theory, talk about 365 days a year. I used to hear that when I lived in Alabama. What is the vibe a couple of days out as we make that turn toward the final game of the regular season?
Well, it is a different Iron Bowl. It's not quite the same. Hey, one's going to potentially win the West. One could potentially make the playoff. Just very different vibes in that sense. But I think there's still a lot of excitement, energy for it, thanks to what Carnell Williams has done. Cadillac's done a good job at revitalizing some excitement for Auburn's side, because if it were Brian Harsin walking in for this, I think it'd be a very be hard to get excited for, I think, for this game. But there's still things on the line for both. A potential bowl for Auburn, Alabama, you know, fighting for that bowl spot as well. So there's still, I think, plenty of excitement. And heck, there wouldn't have to be anything on the line for these two teams and these two fan bases to have reasons to be looking forward to this one.
Nick, what is the range for Alabama's bowl game?
I think right now the Sugar Bowl is probably the highest they can reach. Now that would have to take some things, probably include LSU going to the College Football Playoff. There's always a chance the committee could surprise us where, I mean, Tennessee beat Alabama, but Tennessee's now ranked behind Alabama, and say LSU had a bad loss to Georgia, had three losses. Potentially Alabama could be ranked higher, but right now the Sugar Bowl, I think, is the highest, but maybe Orange Bowl is more realistic for Alabama at this juncture.
And assuming that Alabama, we're really talking about three bowl games, are we not? The Cotton, the Orange, and the Sugar, with the Cotton being the least likely. In the Orange Bowl, is that an ACC tie-up?
There's a good chance we could see a Clemson-Alabama game, not in the postseason, or not in the playoff, I should say, which is kind of funny to think about, but it's very possible.
How about that? Everybody in for yet another Nick Saban-Dabo Sweeney matchup with very little on the line. Just in terms of the health of Alabama, the state of mind, it seems like last week was just another way to knock out the cream puff Saturday. Is Bryce Young in reasonably healthy shape from the earlier shoulder injury? Is everybody ready to roll?
Yeah, Bryce said he's good to go. I mean, there are a few starters like a Jahmyr Gibbs, like a Cam Latu, Tyler Steen, left tackle, several guys who had some twisted ankles, as Nick Saban has phrased it. We're actually going to talk to Nick Saban about, I think, a little over an hour, so we should get an update there as to how they progressed throughout practice this week. But, yeah, for the most part, Bryce Young said he's good to go, and we'll kind of see who else is out there. But the reality is, if you weren't fully healthy for Austin Peay, there's no sense in trotting a guy out there for that game. So I think this week will be much more indicative of how healthy they really are.
Nick Kelly with us from the Tuscaloosa News. And Nick, as I know you're well aware, and everyone that you work with at the Tuscaloosa News, it was a year ago today that we learned that one of the true giants and legends in journalism passed away. Your colleague, Cecil Hurt, passing away after a very difficult illness that finally got him. I know so much has been said and written in special sections and commemoratives, but it's still eerie to those of us who have known Cecil for so long, and we said it a year ago, he was the longest running guest on this program from the inception of the show, to think about a year that has gone by without not only reading his columns, but conversing with him and being around him, as I know you were so much during your tenure at the Tuscaloosa News.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I really wish I could read what he'd be saying right now or what he'd be thinking right now, kind of hearing his thoughts on things, as most people wanted to know. And one thing that I've done over the past year at different points is try to go back and read some columns, because I actually did not know him for that long. I spent less than a year with him working as his colleague. But obviously, as you know, when you're on a beat, you get to know someone pretty well. But in terms of just looking back at columns from the early 2000s, and just the way that he could spin a simile, you know, turn a phrase, and it just was incredible. And really, I don't know if inspirational is the right word, but just it inspires me to write better, and just how I approach the job. And that was the biggest thing with him, Paul, too. And I know you know this, but more so than just his writing or how he talked about things, I think the biggest way that I tried to be like Cecil is just how authentic he was and how much he appreciated authenticity. That was his biggest thing. He was never something more than he was. And I think that was his secret ingredient. That was what made him so beloved. And just the way that he was authentic really stood out to me once I moved here from Minnesota. And it's something I try to do moving forward.
Nick, what was so interesting about Cecil, and he knew everyone, he didn't talk about it, but he knew so much about what was going on. And then it was a matter for us to try to get something out of him. And you were in a little different spot working with him at the newspaper, but I mean, you could ask Cecil a question numerous different ways, and you were just looking for a word or an inflection that may have told you what Nick Saban was thinking or what some other coach was thinking, what Mal Moore was thinking about, and by the way, he knew about other schools as well. That's the thing that was such a challenge with him, because he was the consummate chess player.
I mean, he kept a lot close to the vest, that's for sure. And that's where, like, yeah, when he did share stories with you, whether it was about Alabama or just in general, just stories from his life, you treasured that and you appreciated that, because he was selective, and I think that's there's something to be said about that in an age where so many people can maybe say too much. And but no, I think, like, you knew if you're telling Cecil something, you could trust him, and that's what Nick Saban mentioned a year ago, how much he trusted Cecil, and that's not easy to gain that kind of trust.
No, that was so true, and yeah, and I was saying, I'll let you address it because you worked with him, but you know, he was always in an awkward spot, because he could get called in to see Nick Saban, and sometimes it was just Nick Saban venting, maybe about someone else, and then Cecil had to figure out, okay, I know that, but I can't report that, and that was always one of the big challenges I think he had to. Because people just like to talk to him, and as you said a minute ago, because they knew he wasn't going to go on the air with it or go on Twitter with it.
Yeah, and that's as you know, Paul, being in this business, you hear things, you talk to people. Just so much of what we hear, you know, there's a certain extent you can report, you know, and that's something I try to go forward with too, is that it can be easy for you to backstab a source or to say something that you know, someone else thought was off the record. And so that's where I try to take that same diligence that I think he did, where it's talking to sources and talking to people and making sure they know that they can trust you and that you're not going to burn them. That's one of the biggest things. And I think Cecil is really good at that. And I would ask him questions. I mean, that's the thing. I think I knew at the time when I was working with him just how much I could learn from him, and I wish I had more time than I did. But I tried to pick his brain as much as I could. And I mean, there's just so many insights. In some ways, just a quick story. When he was in the hospital, there's a point where I visited him where he had to take this awful drink. And so he basically, I would help pour it for him. And he'd take it and we'd talk. And he later compared it to when in Harry Potter, in the Half-Blood Prince, where Dumbledore had to drink this awful drink, Dumbledore, the wise great wizard. And then young Harry had to help him with that. And Cecil joked, you know, comparing it, it's like we were in that scenario. And I couldn't help but think, like, man, I really got to learn, kind of like Harry did in this fictional story, just from this guy who's a complete wizard. And I still, to this day, feel incredibly grateful for that.
Before you go, Nick, I would like you to share, I know that you and some of your friends and colleagues are going to remember him later on. Can you give us the details?
Yeah, so tonight at 7 p.m. Central, we're going to be going on a Twitter space and sharing some Cecil memories and myself, Hunter Johnson is a good friend of his, Aaron Suttles with The Athletic is going to be there as well, and some others, and just going to be sharing memories, remembering Cecil, what he meant to us, having some laughs, I'm sure, as well. That's the biggest thing is I want as much as possible for his legacy to live on, and because one of the biggest things for me as a young person, I'm 24, and how much he helped me, that's what he was all about, and so trying to pass that along, and that's one cool thing that UA is doing. Others and some of his friends and family set up was an endowment fund to keep helping sports journalists. And that's the biggest thing to me is how can we continue to honor Cecil and his legacy? And he was all about, as you know, Paul, helping young students. And so I think it's great that we can continue to do that and just keep his memory alive.
Nick, many thanks for coming on and sharing your memories. And we encourage people tonight to join you and your friends. We'll take a very short break now. Much more to come here on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Paul. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Nick.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We'll talk about whether Carnell Williams should get the Auburn job at the top of the hour with a man who believes he should. Fred is up next.
Paul Feinbaum, my man, my brother. Paul, I was so tickled pink this morning to see you talking with us as Mad Dog Russo and to hear you almost quote me, Paul. Where you were saying, well, that loss to Tennessee, that was back in October. It kind of sounded like a man never steps in the same river twice. He's not the same man. It's not the same river. And LSU's not the same team. Paul, are we agreed or are we not agreed?
We are 100% agreed. And Russo, for those who missed First Take, and shame on you, but Russo claimed LSU shouldn't go, even if they beat Georgia.
Paul, just to hear you even repeat it, It just makes me believe even more that – and look, I love listening to Bad Dog Russo. He's got some great takes. But that take today kind of gives truth to the argument that some people think that the sun rises just to hear him crow. And today was one of those days where he just wanted to crow. But let me ask you this, Paul. Georgia, obviously that's a couple of games away. LSU and A&M this weekend, which A&M shows up? Is it the A&M that was preseason top five, or is it the one that we've seen that really just can't score and can't do anything straight?
Fred, I don't know. I have nothing to back up what I'm about to say, but I think the top five A&M shows up Saturday.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, we better be ready, and I think we will be. LSU, you know what has happened since that loss to Tennessee? LSU is now. If you watch ESPN and if you listen to anybody on sports radio, people who objected, LSU is now the biggest story in college football. I will repeat that. The LSU football Tigers are the biggest story in the college football playoff story going forward. Because if they win the next two games, again, big if, because you got to beat Georgia. No one's done it all year. But if we do, and I think we can, you've upset the entire apple cart, and now hours upon hours upon hours will be spent debating whether they deserve to be there or not. And I think it's a simple question. If you've beaten Bama, if you've beaten Georgia, who no one can figure out a way to do, the defending national champ in Georgia, you've got to be one of the best four teams in the country. Paul, tell my logic. Help me.
No, you're 100% correct, Fred. Thank you very much for the call. AJ is in Alabama. Hello, AJ.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I just want to take time to wish everybody a happy and safe Thanksgiving. And I want to brush up on the Lane Kiffin coaching search conversation. Hey, Paul, I asked you the other day, yesterday actually, I said, you know, what's as bad as a Gus Bus was the Lane train. Okay, today I've got a new riddle for you, Paul. What does NIL stand for?
What?
Not interested, Lane. We're not interested, Paul. We don't want – Auburn does not want Lane Kiffin. He's never been anywhere as a coach, a head coach. He's never been anywhere longer than 3 years. Or for a coach at all, he's never been anywhere longer than 3 years. He's 0-5 against SEC teams that finish – over 500 in the SEC. He's 0-5, Paul. I mean, those are facts. Lane is lame. He's lame. We do not want him. And Auburn's
well,
going
okay.
to sit
well,
here.
Well, okay, AJ, allow me to ask you this. Who do you want?
Like I said yesterday, I want Hugh Freeze in there.
And tell me the virtues of Hugh. Tell me the virtues of Hugh Freeze, and you can't say he beat Alabama twice.
Okay, I'm not going to say that. He beat an SEC team with. He got anointed by the Baptist Church over here, and then he got a chance to play Arkansas, and he took care of business. It was one of the most that. See, everybody's downplaying the monumental victory that he just had this year. So, I mean, that's huge. Lane Kiffin, not a day in his life, could take Liberty to Arkansas and beat them. It's not going to happen. But as far as and Auburn's over here going to sit here and just empty out the coffers for some mediocrity, the same thing. We always do the little I think Auburn listens to the media before they hire a coach. They don't dig into anything. They find somebody they can control. And it's time for all that to stop. It's time to get the checkbook out like we know that you have to do now.
I mean, listen, I mean, I think Hugh Freeze did a good job, but overall, I mean, he was 7-6, 8-5, 9-4, that one big season, 10-3, and then 5-7.
And Lane's 0-5 against all SEC schools.
Well, I'm just trying to, and winning at Liberty is not
good
winning
thing.
At Ole Miss. I mean, he was a good coach at Ole Miss, but let's not get completely carried away here. Thank you for the call. Dan is in Illinois. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Paul, Mr. Feinbaum, yeah, calling from Big Ten country, and I tip my hat to the SEC. You guys are the best by far away. And, I mean, every year you could have the best four SEC football teams make the college football playoff, and it'd be far better because you guys are definitely the best. You have the best fans. You have the best stadiums. I mean, every year – for a long time, you could say the SEC. I mean, if Georgia were to play at Ohio State or at Michigan, they would kill them. I mean, you guys would destroy anybody. I mean, just far too good. If there was an NIT of football, then maybe there should be that, and then you guys would be the four best SEC. The four best SEC teams should play each other every year. I mean, I tip my hat big time to you guys.
Thanks for the call, Dan. We are coming back. Final 2 hours of the show. Don't forget Friday, in Tuscaloosa. Roy Johnson will join us next. He thinks that Carnell Williams should be the next coach, and he'll tell you why coming up next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.